just change one word to make an impression upon us. This is saying ever learning and never able to come to the full knowledge of the love of God. It seems as though the love of God is so great that it is ever being unfolded to us. I believe if we lived many years, that we would ever be learning of God's love, and we would ever be, I believe it would be ever developing, and he would always be revealing his love to us in various ways. In my mind, it's as though we may not have the full knowledge or comprehension of the love of God until we are in eternity, and then we will fully understand the love of God. Another scripture I have this afternoon is Ephesians, the third chapter, verses 17 and 18. And it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend what the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Now, I have used that in some of the other messages along the way concerning the love of God. But as I looked at this and thought of it again, this breadth and length and depth and height, we would call it the magnitude of the love of Christ. That would be the parts that would ever be unfolding and always being revealed unto us. We haven't reached the depth and the height and the width yet, but I believe that the love of God through Christ, that we must experience it through, well, one place says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We could change it again and not do damage to the scripture. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is love. His love is so good. So the title of our little thought this afternoon is A Love That Covers. And we're taking that title from 1 Peter 4 and 8. We're going to give the last part of the verse. And it's really says for charity, but we're going to insert love as it's the reference name or word. And it says, for love shall cover a multitude of sins. I'm going to say that the divine love of God is a love that covers our sins. And he does it through the divine forgiveness. I am so thankful for God's love in covering my faults, my errors, my sins. Even today, we can call upon him if we feel that we have failed in any way, and his love will reach out to us and cover that thing with in which we might repent. There is another scripture that is so familiar. I know that every one of us could quote it, and it's often quoted, and of late I've almost felt like that we don't fully realize and comprehend the depth of this scripture, John 3:16. Very familiar. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And that's all I'm going to give right now, because I sort of was looking online and I saw different ways that was said. Whether that's pertinent to your understanding or not, I would hope that it would open up a way for us to even get a little bit greater vision of the kind of love that God had for the whole world. God loved the world this way. And then that would be the remainder of the verse. This is how much God loved the world. And then it would be the remainder of the verse. Because he gave his only begotten son. What a high price and a great gift. And it was a gift of love. And so God loved the world so much. Any one of these could be used and not do damage to the scriptures. It is the love of God that can cover the multitude of sins in the whole world. If every soul in the whole world bowed on their knees and repented of their sins, wouldn't that be a magnitude of sin? And yet God's love is so great and so powerful, and it would cover all of the sins of the world at one time. Thank the Lord that he has a love that can cover our sins. And of course, the remaining part of that verse is, he doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants every soul to have everlasting life. So I'd like to also make this verse personal. And I think it is best if we not look at it as the whole world and lose sight of our own soul. But it's good for us to say, God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son. Yeah, it's been said, and this might be hard for me to take in too, but it's been said that if you or I were the only beings on the earth, that God would still give his only begotten son, that you not perish, but have everlasting life. But that shows the love of God for your soul and for my soul. The love of God covers. I want to now combine a few scriptures together. And it starts out with the covenant of the Lord. It says, this is the covenant I will make with them. And the covenant that the Lord makes with anyone who comes to him and desires to be a part of the covenant, the promises are given. So we're going to just read some of those verses in connection. And it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that a wonderful covenant with you and me? Confessing my sins, going before the Lord, repenting of my sins. He's faithful. His love is faithful to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me. Then another verse is, in him we have redemption through his blood. I praise God for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. And it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Again, we could insert another word there and not do damage to the scripture. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his love, of his great love. Thank the Lord. Another one is, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is for us to have faith and confidence that when I come before him, all of my past is wiped away. All of my sins are under the blood, and he will remember it no more. And another one then, it says, and these are familiar, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Oh, that's just a few scriptures that will show us the love of God. And we've each one experienced it. If we're saved today, we've tasted of his love. We've tasted of his goodness. Thank the Lord. So it came to my mind that there might be a song with the title, Because of Love. Seemed like I had heard it, but I wasn't sure. So I got online and I Googled it, and there was a song that came up. I was not familiar with it, but the words were so good. So I'm going to say this. It's an afternoon service, and sometimes it's hard to concentrate and sometimes get drowsy, but I'd like for us to shake ourselves. And if you are drowsy this afternoon, that you might even get up and walk around and shake yourself. And I want us to really grasp hold of just another view of the love of God. So I'm going to just read you some of these verses. And it says, you could have walked away. You could have left the world in shame and all alone. You could have easily said this was more than you could bear. You could have turned and walked a different road. But you chose to prove that you are God because of love. Because of love, all the world has changed. Because of love, I can have eternity. When you gave to me the one thing I didn't deserve, and I can't believe the price that I was worth because of love. Those are some real good words, I think, that maybe fits into the little message this afternoon. I'm thinking also of the example left to you and me to follow. And it's always been the example of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And it's His love, His goodness, His mercy, His compassion, all of those things that we have experienced in our life has been something that has been left to us. And He says, I want you to be this way too. So there's a number of commandments that is in the Word, and it says, be ye holy as I am holy. Well, we understand what that means because He's holy. That's what we're reaching for. And another one is, I'm thinking that when He said, be ye holy, He knew that I could not be holy within myself. And He also knew that I would need grace and power that is beyond me. But another one, He says, love, and we've used this in some of the other messages, love one another as I have loved you. You know, God knew I couldn't love my fellow man like He loved me. And He also knew that I needed the power of His love in order to do that. Then He also says, forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Well, again, the word of the Lord says it's impossible, but that offenses would come. And God knew that I would not be able to know how to forgive unless I knew His forgiveness. So now I want to go back and read the scripture in 1 Peter, but read the beginning of it, and it's 1 Peter 4 and 8, and the full verse is, and above all things, have fervent love or charity among yourselves, for love or charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Well, I'm not God, and you're not God, and I can't save the world, and no one can save the world but God. But the blood of Jesus only. And yet He's giving us something here as a commandment. He's wanting us to be able to do those things we cannot do within ourselves through His love, His forgiveness. We've tried to convey just a little bit in the words that have already been spoken of His love to us through forgiveness. And now He's not only saying, I want you to love one another like I love you, but I want you to forgive others like I forgive you. A very familiar, it should ever be present with us. As long as you and I are in this world, we're going to need forgiveness of our fellow man, our brothers, our sisters, in our families, wherever we meet offenses, we're going to need the same forgiveness. Peter said in this particular, Peter was the writer, of course, and he said, love covers sin. And what he means here is that, no, you can't forgive people of their sins, but he says that that love allows me to overlook the offenses made against us. You and I may always remember a wound or hurt. We may remember something that we have been healed of, and yet it leaves a scar on our body. And I'm not talking about offenses right now. I'm talking about a literal wound may produce a scar on the body. And I may look at that scar and I can tell you exactly how it happened, how that I received that wound in my flesh. And it may be the same with the offenses of life. We can forgive. It can be healed. And yet, as a human being, we might remember some of those offenses and some of those wounds and hurts of the past. But love allows you and me to forgive the offender. Thank the Lord for the power of forgiveness. And it's when I look back and I see how God forgave me when I didn't deserve it. He loved me when I was just still a sinner. And he drew me to himself, and he's saying, now I want you to love one another like I love you, and I want you to forgive like I have forgiven you. So I believe that this is very imperative for us to make heaven. I believe, and I think I have said this in one of the other messages, this is just a little different angle. I believe that this is two very important commandments that no one will be able to make heaven without being filled with the love of God and being able to forgive others as Christ forgave them. So I want to turn now and read Matthew, the sixth chapter, and I'm going to read verses 14 and 15, and it says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Well, it's pretty plain that the commandment that I forgive as Christ forgave me is pretty real. But now I want to look at another scripture also in Matthew, the 18th chapter. And I'm going to look at verses, let's start at verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Well, I wonder if any of us have been offended by the same brother seven times. I really can't remember that any one person has offended me that many times, but evidently Peter had that experience. And Jesus answered him and said, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. It's a number that I cannot comprehend or realize, and I hope I never have to meet that many times. So it goes on and it says, and this is what is so important for us to learn and be reminded of. This is just a message of being of a reminder. It goes on and it said, Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now I'm going to stop right there just for a minute, and I want to tell you what 10,000 talents are equal to. I looked it up online so that I could, it was far more than I thought. It says 10,000 talents is 200,000 years of labor. I'm going to read that again. 10,000 talents is equal to 200,000 years of labor. It is 60 million working days. In money, in modern money, it is valued at $3.48 billion. Did you know it was that much? It almost makes you wonder how a servant got in debt that much. It's not necessarily that the servant was in debt that much, but Jesus is trying to impress upon our minds that we could not save ourselves, no matter what we did. If I worked 200,000 years, I couldn't pay off the debt of my soul, being in eternity, or receiving the love of God and the forgiveness of only God. Would any of us have $1 billion to pay off our debt? No, we wouldn't have it. We would be counted as poor people if we were in debt like that. So that's quite an impressive amount, don't you think? So this man, he owed this 10,000 talents. And it says, verse 25, but for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. I cannot see how this man could pay his debt. But he was crying for mercy. When you and I come before the Lord with the knowledge that there is no way for me to be saved except through the love of God and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his blood, there's no other way whereby men shall be saved. When we realize that and we come to the knowledge of that, won't we bow down and worship and cry for mercy? Well, this man did that, and listen to the reaction. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Oh, I want to tell you, do you value the debt that you could not pay and he loosed you from it? You were lost and undone. I was lost and undone. I think sometimes we forget what we've been saved from. There's a scripture that says to remember the pit from which we were digged. I came out of a pit. You came out of a pit. And we had only destruction and hell before us. But we bowed and we cried for mercy unto the one that had mercy and that could forgive us and cover our sins. Praise God that God is able to save to the uttermost. Listen today. You do not have to be saved partway. God can save you to the uttermost. Thank the Lord. And so we go on reading. And what happened next? Oh, it was a sad story. Then he was forgiven of his debt. And the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands. on him and took him by the throat and said, pay me that which thou owest. Now, I'm going to tell you how much 100 pence is according to the 100 pence equal to U.S. dollars is $1.18. Can you imagine, after being forgiven of a debt that was impossible to pay, and then turn around and take your fellow servant and demand that they pay $1.18? Does it put a different light on it when it comes to us forgiving others? It should make us really consider, if God is saying, I want you to forgive others like I have forgiven you, surely $1.18 was of nothing. Let's go on reading now. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, did the same thing he did, and besought him, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into the prison till he should pay the debt. So then the fellow servants saw what was done. They were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Don't you know, when people are looking on our lives and maybe they know of grudges that we might hold against others. You know, if we hold a grudge, we're going to talk about it. We're going to make sure other people know about it. And maybe we're claiming to be saved. And maybe those that we tell it to, don't you know they feel sorry? Sorry that this thing is controlling your life. It goes on and it says, then his Lord, after that he had called him, said, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me to. Shouldst not thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? Oh, do you see the love of God in your life, that you are able to raise your hand in song of a testimony of forgiveness, of living a holy life? Don't you know that God wants that holiness in your life to reach out and forgive those who trespass against you? And he doesn't want it one time. He said a number that was almost impossible to reach. But he has the grace. He has the love to give you and me, that we can forgive others like he forgives us. The next verse said, shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Well, our message this afternoon started out trying to unfold or develop or at least express the great love of God to us. And then we read this passage and we find it's really greater than we thought, because we couldn't pay the debt for our sins. So here we are now. Let's look at the great debt that was paid and forgiven. And let's look at how I feel about my brother or my sister, or even people out in the world, people that I work with. Listen, there's going to come offenses from every angle of the world, every path of life. Whatever we're dealing with, we're going to be treated in a way that is The word of the Lord is so sure. He says, I want you to love everyone like I love you. And I want you to forgive everyone like I forgive you. So I want to end with this little scripture. This, and I'm going to say, in this is the love of God. That's my words. The goodness or the love of God leads you and me to repentance. So what maybe we don't have a full vision of God's love, but we should have a good understanding of his forgiveness. I believe his love wants to be expressed to us more and more. And I know this song always just rings in my heart. Let me love thee more and more. That's part of the love of God, is winning our love. And we're increasing in our love for him. But the goodness, it was the love. Goodness is love. You can interchange those two words too. It was the love of God that led you and me to repentance. I trust that the Lord will open up some of these thoughts. I'm just desiring for myself a greater understanding and comprehension of the love of God. I want to tell you that through this experience of my life that I am in, it has been a challenge to me to understand more of the love of God and for me to love him. I desire your prayers that I will have the proper love in my heart and always be able to forgive those who trespass against me. Thank the Lord.